again to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Cereal Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com. I'm your announcer, Ms. Tammy Lee of TripleCrownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida, and in just a moment we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Conjurement Ali of ConjurementAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we will be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, Madam Nadia of MadamNadia.com in Chicago, Illinois. Together, y'all, they will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our times. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first let's catch up with our co-hosts, Miss Kat and Conjurement Ali. Miss Kat?
Hi, Miss Tammy. I was just talking with you before the show started, and I was glad to hear that your mom is doing a lot better and is going to be home with you soon. So just want to let everybody know who's been praying. Our prayers are being answered. And,
Thank you.
I'm so glad that she's doing well.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's what it is, but it's, you know, she's pulling out of it, and that's good. She's on the mend. For those who didn't know, she fell and hurt herself, broke her hip. So, but that's what happens to old folks.
Mm-hmm.
My mother fell and broke her hip too, and lived quite a long time afterwards. And you know, it's something that happens, and old ladies more than others. I hope it doesn't happen to me. Knock on wood. I'm trying to keep myself strong for that. Okay. Well, I'm glad things are going better, and you're a wonderful, wonderful daughter to take care and step in and help.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, I want to catch everybody up on what's going on at Lucky Mojo. We've been doing a lot of work around the place, getting ready for the May 3rd and 4th Hoodoo Heritage Festival. We've had a group meeting. We've got people assigned to tasks. We've had a real little topsy-turvy going on with people who were assigned to tasks, not being able to do them, and now we're reassigning people. And so everything is now straightened out and I hope on track. If anybody is in the neighborhood or vicinity of Forestville, California, and just feels that urge to volunteer at the Hoodoo Heritage Festival and wants a job, there are jobs available for people, lifting, carrying, pushing things around, and so forth. And we are looking for volunteers, so we know that there are people who like to come early, people who like to come to the apprenticeship, and all the apprentices will definitely be called upon to help volunteer. We're still finalizing all of the programs. We're going to be making all the goodie bags. We're working on all the books that we're publishing and printing to have ready there at the Hoodoo Heritage Festival. So all of that is underway, and we're working as fast as we can. The railroad project is also doing very, very well. We put out the March newsletter, and big thanks to Miss Phoenix for working on the newsletter and really helping out. And that showed some pictures of the railroad that Daniel Smith has been putting in for us. And if you go to danielsmithrailroads.com, you'll see more of his work and video of his work. And I have, meanwhile, been introduced to another fantastic local railroader named Al Tillman. And Al Tillman has a fantastic G-scale railroad that Daniel Smith has been working on, built trestle, 24-foot trestle for him. And Al came out to see what Daniel was doing at the Lucky Mojo, and we had a great get-together, and Al has said he probably will come out for the Hoodoo Heritage Festival and help run trains. So all you all train fans, it's a chance to see Al in action, and he's a great guy, really wonderful person. And somebody who just is another one of these people who just wants to pitch in and help because he loves trains. And I'm not supposed to say what he also came to pick up from the Lucky Mojo Company because it's a secret for his life and his life only. But let's just say he knows how to use that stuff, okay? And Al comes from a – when Al learned about some of the products we had, he wanted me to fix them up with him, and I sure did. So that was kind of an interesting meet with somebody who comes from a hoodoo background, family background, and is also into G-scale railroads. Boy, that was unexpected. I'll tell you, unexpected. All right. So I hope I haven't blabbed too much of his secrets out here. Okay. So anyway, that's what we've been up to. Now, how about you, Ollie? Tell us what you've been doing. I know you're hard at work, and I know you've got a lot going on, but give us the lowdown on your story.
Oh, you know, things have been going really well. Getting into the swing of social media, for people who don't know that it's only been 3 months, but I've joined Facebook and the church organization that is associated with Missionary Independent Spiritualist Church, the House of Kimbanda, is also on Facebook. So I've been really getting into the swing of things there, learning how to use it properly and using it effectively. So that's been really fun as another means of kind of staying in contact with other people. Well, also being very busy on my business front. It's been lots of fun with spring coming up. It's always the most interesting time. People are looking for really, you know, success work around this period, looking to start businesses, to move forward. So it's interesting. We talk about the summer of love. Spring for me is always about money, always about business, and always about making changes in people's lives. And so it's very exciting. I have a blog post in the work that I'll be posting soon about spring cleaning and how to kind of deal with some traditional ways of ushering in spring. So lots of work on my plate, but I wouldn't have it any other way. As you know, Miss Cat, we Tauruses thrive when there's work to do.
Well, you are one of the busy people and one of the people who, like me and other earth signs, Capricorns too, we thrive on getting our job done.
Right.
So that's what we do. And I'll tell you something, at the end of a lifetime, there'll be a lot of totaling up. What did that person do? And some people do a lot, and you are one of them. All righty. Well, I think we're about ready to bring in our guest, and that is Madam Nadia today. And I always love it. A lot of people don't know, but Madam Nadia used to work part-time for the Lucky Mojo, and we used to be able to spend quite a lot of time in her beautiful presence. And now she has moved to Chicagoland. We don't see her very often, but it's always nice to talk on the phone. And you are coming out for the Hoodoo Heritage Festival, right, Madam Nadia?
Oh, I certainly am, and I can't wait. This is so exciting, and I've been last year to the festival, and it's been so wonderful, and I miss you guys so much, and really excited about the program this year. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, it is going to be something. I tell you, it's going to be. This is an intensive and really well-organized set of workshops, and I'm really glad that you're helping. And I'm also glad, and just got to thank you, because you were scheduled to teach one course, and then when poor Dr. E passed away, that left a hole in our program because he was going to be teaching love magic, and so you and Madam Pamita stepped in together to teach the love magic and glamour. And so we're going to get a dose and a half of Madam Nadia this year instead of just one, for which I'm very grateful because you're a very adept person and really know a lot, you know.
I look forward to both workshops.
Yeah, and the other workshop you're doing is going to touch a little bit on what we're talking about right now. It's sort of briefly kind of intersected. It's not the same as the workshop. It's a different topic, but there's an intersection. You are known as a very good diviner. You're one of the best readers I've ever met, and I've never had the pleasure of actually hiring you to do root work for me, but I bet you're good, but I just have never hired you for that. But I have had you do reading for me, and you are superior. Let's just put it that way. You are one of the best.
Oh, thank
and,
you.
So, but you and I have talked for many, many years about, you know, about divination. I think that's one of the things that you and I share together, a lot of interest in that. And especially card divination. We both love card divination. And so what you brought to talk about today for the panel discussion is the importance of divination, when to do divination, and how to do divination with respect to root work. Now, I want to say that all of those of you who, under the sound of my voice, listening now, Madame Nadia's workshop is going to be specific instructions on how to use a divination card reading to turn it into root work without having to throw extra cards for what the root work will be. In other words, a less adept reader would say, let's say the question is my husband cheating? Very common question. You throw down some cards. Yes, your husband is cheating. Then they would ask, is there anything I can do about it? And you would throw down the cards. Is there anything you can do about it? And the answer might be, yes, you could use magic. Then they would ask, what magic should I use? And then you have a choice. Either the reader says out of their own head, I would use this, or the reader says, well, let's throw down some more cards and see what should be used. Well, what Madame Nadia's course is about is skipping step two and three and bundling them both into step one. Is that not correct? That's it. You know, then instead, the person says, is my husband cheating? And then you throw out the cards and they say, well, what can I do? The answer's already there in the cards. Or you could throw more cards after. But I often find, and I know that you do too, Nadia, that the cards themselves will contain those extra layers of meaning. So that's what she's going to teach you, how to do that, how to get those extra layers of meaning out of your cards, and also how to use cards straight up for root work. In other words, let's say someone says, I know my husband is cheating. Excuse me, I don't mean to be ragging on people's husbands. It's just a sample. But
they say, I know my husband
is cheating. What do I do? And she can throw down the cards on that, and the cards will say what root work to do. This is a really important part of root work. Now, not everybody does it this way. There are many other ways to do it. They rely on their old favorite spells. Well, what my grandmother would have done, and that's valid. It's totally valid. We're talking about now a method of using divination to perform root work. Now, today, however, we're backing up one step. This is kind of the pre-entry to that class you're teaching, the importance of divination in root work. And so before I let you take it away, I'm going to just say a little bit about this from my perspective. The importance of divination in root work to me as a root worker has always been, is my client really clearly aware of what's going on? In other words, client comes to me and says, my husband is cheating. What root work should I do? That's a trick question. I don't know if the husband is cheating. And I would like to do a reading on that first, because I don't, what if my client is crazy as a bedbug? You know what I'm saying? Maybe she doesn't know, maybe she's paranoid. So I will throw cards on that. Classic example, the first time this happened to me many, many, many years ago, 30 or more years ago, woman says, I don't think it was her husband at that time, it was a boyfriend. My boyfriend is cheating, blah, 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 blah. What should I do? And I thought, well, I'll just, you know, I had the cards in my hand because I hadn't anticipated what the question would be. And I thought, all right, I'll put down three cards. I cut, and I put down three cards. The first card was the Seven of Swords. And I thought, she's not telling me the truth. Because when the first card comes up, Seven of Swords, that kind of aborts the reading most of the time. The client is lying or taking or stealing or just doing wrong, or there's something wrong. It's just a wrong card to have as the first card. I'm not going to say it always means that someone is lying, but that's kind of how I was taught to read it, if it comes up as the first card. And when I saw that, I thought, now, wait a minute, let's back up. What are we doing here? We got to do some divination first. So that was, like I said, that was more than 30 years ago that happened. And it, as it turned out, and again, I'm not trying to, if this comes up in any reading, and don't think I'm saying that it always means this, but I figured out very quickly, like about 30 more seconds into talking with the lady, and this was at one of those psychic fairs, so it was like, sit down, throw the cards. I didn't have time to even know this lady, right? I realized she was a lunatic, right? And it was, her husband wasn't cheating, or boyfriend wasn't cheating at all. I wasn't even sure she had one by the end of the reading, you see? So you know, and yet she probably would have paid me money for root work, and then we would have been in la-la land. I mean, I'm talking about a person who was a serious mental health consumer. This was not a normal person. So that was like the big, big billboard in my face. Whoa, do that divination first, right? All right, now having said that, let me turn that over to the panel. Madam Nadia, you tell me what you know about why we do divination first.
Well, I have to back up first and say that I have a particular love for divination. I feel sometimes that I was born with a deck of cards in my hands, and I have I just enjoy that process. It's much easier for me to do that than maybe something else that could be very easy for another person. When I start shuffling cards, I go into a meditative space, and I've been doing it enough, as well as my own spiritual practice, to know that there is a certain way that my spirit, my guides communicate with me, and my brain processes this information. You know, you guys are Tauruses, I'm a triple Gemini. It's all about my brain and how it processes information, how quickly can I tell it to other people. And so when I have such a connection with the cards, spirit talks all the time. And in fact, I know that a lot of really good diviners in our community, including both of you, a lot of times we'd be on the phone just talking about something, and I'll hear the cards being shuffled, right? Holding the cards and shuffling, it's kind of like one of those things that we do. But it's a constant meditation. Some people do, you know, they pray with mala, rudrakshas, you know, different beads. We almost pray with our cards. Our deck becomes something that is profane and holy at the same time. It can be tattered and old. You don't have to, you know, flip with it under the pillow, but on the other hand, it's a book of secrets that can reveal anything. And so I highly recommend people who just start reading to pick one deck and stay with it and learn how they communicate with spirit and how they understand the information, because it's so easy to get stuck on just pulling more cards and more cards and more cards and really not knowing if your client there is, you know, is it a loony client or is it, you know, definitely they really feel that there is something crawling under the skin or what's going on. So for me, being able to look into the cards and talk through that with spirit allows me to know a lot more than just what the situation is, like what the client, what are the chances that the root work is going to work, you know? Is there, I understand that my client is in love, but what is going on with the other person? Maybe my client is not even asking about whether my boyfriend is cheating, and I know that the boyfriend is cheating. So there's a lot of importance in my, you know, in my eyes about throwing the cards before doing anything. This is the first analysis. This is the first connection. And a lot of times we will find that information of what needs to be done right there. Don't need to do many more things, because, and it's how we train our cards and how we communicate with spirit. It will all be there. You don't need to throw sometimes 200 cards in order to see the same thing. But, you know, sometimes I have a client because I put everywhere that I read before I do any woodwork. So I'll get requests like, Madam Nadia, could you do your most successful mojo hand for me, but without doing a divination? And it's always funny to me, because if you want me to do my most successful mojo hand, I will certainly want to do some divination. And it's because spirit can tell me what to put in it, what not to put in it, you know, how to work with it, how much I need to sit and prepare it before I give it to the client, and so forth. So for me, it's a very, very, very important thing before undertaking any kind of work.
That's really interesting to me, too, because a lot of times clients will say, I don't want to pay for the divination, I just want the work. And if they know what they want, if they say, can you fix me up a mojo for gambling, any one of us can do it. And nobody's going to say, you must pay extra for divination. But it's that client who says, get me your best mojo. Well, there is no best mojo. You know what I'm saying? Best mojo for you, that requires divination. Now, they could say, get me the, do the mojo that you've sold the most of. No, even that probably wouldn't work because, you know, who's keeping track of how many they sell of this with that in it or that with this in it? I mean, whether, you know, they're custom made. So, no, that's not going to work. But I do know if someone says to me, I need a mojo bag for Fireball of Protection, I've got a list of ingredients. Of course I do, and I make it that way. But if they say, do I need a Fiery Wall of Protection mojo, then I got to do a divination. Yeah. How about you, Ollie? Mm-hmm. How do you use divination
it's funny because what I say is divination is essential to root work because it goes back to the 2 D's. All right, I call divination connecting with the divine, and that's really the best way to understand divination. We say readings quite a bit. People talk about psychic readings. People talk about intuitive readings. But divination at its core is a very traditional way of understanding what we do. Divination is about being to the divine. It's about understanding the words, the signs, the symbols that come from the divine. So it's a very powerful way of working and understanding and trying to find out what the path before us holds.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the key to successful divination is not just, and this is also really deeply connected to the way root work does divination versus other types, other systems doing divination, is that divination for us isn't just a matter of interpreting cards or looking at a couple bones, or even very heavily psychologically influenced. It's always about communication with spirit. And this is typical in the fact that, this is very clearly seen in the fact that a lot of the older diviners used to do what's known as reading your spirit, right? They wouldn't even throw cards. They just look at you, and they were able to read you through spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is very, very, very important to root work. Now, the second D for me is diagnosis. Reading and divination is all about diagnosing the situation. So even if a client isn't asking for a reading, even if a client comes to me for one of my kind of services that they can just purchase, like, for example, a mojo bag, divination, whether they realize it or not, is still going to be part of that process because I will use divination to determine what ingredients might go in there. So I have a skeleton of ingredients for, let's say, gambling. But the client goes, oh, I need, you know, gambling because I'm going to go to the casino. I will then take all the ingredients, go, which ones are the ones that this person needs? And it may be that this person may need a little bit of ginger to heat up the mojo bag's luck. Or it may be that they don't need ginger. Instead, we're looking at cinnamon. So divination is central to the way that I work with them. That's how I diagnose, and it's how I determine what I'm going to do in that case. If they purchase a divination, they will get one. But if they don't, I'm still doing a divination. They may not hear the results or the process.
Mm-hmm.
I still do one for myself.
Yeah, I hear you on that. Vicki Trancho in the chat room asked a question. She said, don't you find that divination occurs naturally when you are working? I would say that for some
mm-hmm.
it does, and for others it does not. Remember,
mm-hmm.
root workers and conjure doctors are a varied lot. There's not just one kind of worker.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that what Ollie just described is someone who for divination occurs naturally. He's looking at the herbs. He's thinking, should I take this one or that one? What do they say? You know, that kind of thing. Nadia agreed with him. I am somewhat inclined that way myself, but I would say maybe less formally. I tend to separate divination from root work because I'm one of those root workers who really likes to work very traditional spells, has a bazillion of them kind of filed away in my memory bank, and then I don't usually intuitively change them very much. I'm pretty, I went to a lot of trouble to memorize them all, and I got them memorized, right? So I don't use divination in my work maybe as much as they do. Now, that doesn't make me a worse root worker. It's just a different kind of personality.
No.
So
mm-hmm.
what I would do is I'm actually going through my memory banks of every spell I know and divining which one would be right.
Mm-hmm.
Is that intuitive divination? It doesn't really sound like divination to the public. So I'm not one of those people who looks at the piles of herbs and does, for instance, Draja Mikoharik talks about picking up an herb and holding it in your hand and saying, this one in or this one out, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't do that. So everyone's different, but I will say that even for me, and I'm more inclined to separate the two than some other people that I know, and this has come up often with me. I mean, I also know there are others who are like me who almost do no divination. They just start the root work because they have certain tricks that they like. But what they're divining is, can this be helped at all, period, right?
Uh-huh.
But even that they're doing possibly at an intuitive level. So, yeah, but the amount of connection between divination and root work is variable. That's one reason I use the cards, because I'm sometimes in another world about the divination, and I got to ground myself back to the root work. I will, but see, I'm a Taurus with Gemini rising. I got the worst of both possible worlds there. I mean, I'm very intellectual on the one hand and very grounded on the other. So I don't know, Vicki, I hope that answered your question, but the answer is no, it's not always part of it, and no, it's going to be, even among those to whom it always is connected, it'll be a different way of working, a different percentage, a different approach by personality of the worker.
And people are really, there's different gifts for different people. Some are gifted more than others, but I do think that practice makes perfect. And I believe that when people start using a form of divination on a regular basis, it kind of starts making space in their spirit, in their mind, for other messages. It's like illuminates an area, and suddenly something that you never saw before, you see and understand now, and you start figuring out how spirit talks to you. Is it your grandmother? Is it spirit guide? Is it some existentialist formula that works for you, but you know what to do and what not to do? You know what to pay attention to and what not to pay attention to, because you can be, you know, you start from the cards, and a couple of years you drive in your car and be like, nope, I'm not going to go to this road where I usually go because I just don't feel like it. I'm going to go the other way. And then later you'll learn that there was a major accident there and you'd be standing there for 20 minutes doing nothing, just thinking, why not listen to my intuition?
Mm-hmm.
So starting working with a system will help, in my opinion, open up the ability to read better and better and better in other forms as well.
Right. I got a question in the chat room from D. Ajab. Kat, when do you know when to use cards and when to use bones? Well, that's a good question, and you didn't even ask me, how do I know when to use astrology, or how do I know when to use psychometry, how do I know when to use palmistry, how do I know when to use graphology or handwriting analysis? I use them all. I am a collector of forms of divination. If you look at the AIR website, I'm listed for almost every form of divination, because divination is just my thrill and a half. So how do I know when to use them? It's kind of like you go into a restaurant and there's a menu and you think, am I going to have the smoked trout salad or am I going to have the goat cheese polenta? You know, you go, whatever it is, you know what you're going to want. You can taste it, you know.
That's funny.
So, there's no one answer to that. Now, if a person's in person, I'll do palmistry and I will do psychometry on them without telling them I'm doing it, right? If a person's on the telephone, I'll do psychometry on their photo or the photo of their loved ones or friends or family or coworkers if they sent me the photos. If they didn't, can't do psychometry, can't do palmistry at all.
Right.
On the phone, I'll do cards. Bone reading, I'll do on the radio now and then, but I do this, what I call short form, just a grab and throw, because I can't do a whole bone reading on the show. It takes too long. I will do I Ching. If someone asks me, I've actually done I Ching on the phone. People say, I'm going to get every kind of reading Kat offers, and you'd be surprised. There are people who call up and say, at this time I want you to do graphology, and I'll send you my handwriting, and I'll do that too. But each type of reading is good for something different. For instance, smoked trout salad is good if you want a low-cal, high-fiber diet. Goat cheese polenta is good if you're freezing cold and working hard all day and want a lot of compressed calories and a lot of protein. So those are different. It's not just a question of taste. It's a question of what you need. And in some cases, you know what the client needs or wants. You've heard us on the radio sometimes when someone has a long-time problem, and Ollie and me and whoever our guest is will all go, wait a minute, this is an astrology issue. We do that all the time. And it's because we know, all of us who are diviners know, if you want the long glacial scale, it's astrology. That's the one.
Yeah.
And if it's a snap judgment, you can toss a coin on it or toss a card or three cards or a handful of bones. But it's interesting because each type of divination, we know what they're good for too, right? I love psychometry. I think if I could just do psychometry, I would be in clover. I mean, that's what I love. I love psychometry. How few people bother to send me the pictures? It's just they just don't bother. They could do it electronically, but they just want the card reading. So the answer is I do card readings because I don't have the other things, you know. But I love to do them all. So I hope that was an answer to that question. And I know, Ali and Nadia, you have favorite ways to read. I know, Nadia, you're definitely cards. And Ali, you're our big geomancer, too.
Yeah, for me, deciding what divination to do really comes down to three factors. And I think you're dead on in that. One, it comes to a matter of personal preference. I am, like yourself, one of those people that study divination in a variety of different forms because of my interest in cultural tradition. So, you know, I have all these divinations under my belt, but there's a core set of them that I consider my preferred methods of divining. And I know that they're my preferred methods because it's what I turn to when I need a question answered. The second factor is what does the client ask for? For example, my most popular form of divination is tarot readings, and it's one of the most popular forms for many of us because it's what clients request the most. It's what they're familiar with. It's what they're interested in. However, in my opinion, is up there, but it's not my number one. It is. I tend towards scrying astrology, horary astrology, electional astrology, and all the variety of different types of astrology, as well as geomancy. Those three are kind of my big three that I turn to when I have a question. But followed, you know, tarot is up there, and people like the tarot, and so they get it. And then the third factor would be, what does the case call for? Are we looking for seeing how things are flowing in the situation, what's going on behind the scenes? Tarot is excellent for that. Am I looking for more spirit-directed answers? Scrying is brilliant for that. Scrying is also really great if I want to spy on a situation, you know, quote-unquote spy. Look directly at what's going on at this exact moment. But if I'm looking for something long-term, like you mentioned, I'm looking at geomancy and astrology. So those three factors are very important in determining what divination I do.
Yeah, and there's a... Then Prophet Avery said something which is interesting, too. I love reading the cards, oracle cards, but when I'm clearer, don't need them as much. And this is something true. We got to touch on that. There are times when you just know the answer and you don't need any tools. There are people who love the tools for the sake of the tools. There are people who don't use tools at all, like, you know, clear sight, you know, clairsentience, clairaudience, clairvision, clairvoyance. And they'll sometimes get all smug and superior and say, I don't use tools. Well, that's okay. But, you know, some of us, they might just drive a shabby car, too. They drive a beater. I drive a nice car. You know what I mean? So some of us like our tools for the sake of the tools. And don't put us down for that. I mean, I love my crystal balls, and I love a lot of crystal balls, and I got a lot of tarot decks, and I got a lot of oracle card decks. And you know, for me, it's also about the artistry of the divination form. And again, that's personality. And no one reader who says that, well, I read cards because that's the most accurate. No, that's most accurate for them. But they also because they like the cards. And for me, I mean, there are some weird decks, some of those old Whitman gypsy decks. And you all know what I'm talking about, Nadia. Those things, I can't read them for nothing. But I've got to have them because they're so beautiful.
And you know, this is my thing. I'll spend a lot of money on eBay buying vintage decks, and then I'll have somebody come to me and say, "But I have to get my deck new and a present from somebody," and be like, "Yeah, I spend a lot of my money for used decks, and I love them." But you know, if you love something and you're a collector, you really appreciate things, and you don't necessarily have to use them. And you know, the Whitman decks or different, they represent history. It's time period. It says something about the culture and society where it came from at that time. what was important and what was not important, what was influenced. For instance, the Whitman deck as opposed to the Lenormand, and they kind of in the same category, has in images of pig mm-hmm. for luck. And in Lenormand, you don't have a pig, and pig actually comes from Russian cartomancy and divination, and that's mm-hmm. why it's considered, you know, a lucky thing. But, you know, for me, I didn't get that when I was in Russia. So when mm-hmm. I looked at a pig, my idea of a pig comes from more Jewish-Israeli idioms. Pig for luck. This is crazy. But then when I did my research, you know, I understood where it's coming from, but it also was interesting for me because of the history and the influence. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love people and connections with people, and it shows up in the cards a lot in art. It's art form, you know. You have mm-hmm. all this beautiful artists. Sometimes we get all those decks, we're never going to use them. We know we're not going to use them because we have the stuff we go to. But we just love the art of it. It gives us pleasure
to look
at.
That's right. That's right. All right. Well, we've won way over, as usual. But this is a good topic. And I will say, too, that, yeah, there is the aspect of collecting divination tools. And mm-hmm. that is something that most diviners end up with a little bit of interest in, just because this is our art, this is our work, you know, and we are fans or appreciators of those who've come before us and their artistry. So if you go to a diviner's house, you may find, you know, they've got a lot of things, but they're going to read, like with me, I read you out of the Rider-Waite. I've got all these decks. I don't use them because I don't want to get them messed up.
I am really big on buying decks, and I'll try different decks, but because I knew that I'm going to be doing this workshop this year, and I knew that I'm focusing this workshop on mm-hmm. three very specific systems, which is playing cards, Lenormand, and Tarot, and specifically the Rider-Waite deck. So I kind of mm-hmm. forced myself to mm-hmm. say I'm not going to buy anything new and I'm not going to use anything new. I'm just going to work with this and my Desta deck, which is not going to be, of course, included in this, and that's it. And mm-hmm. it's really hard for me because I'll go on eBay and I'll see something and I'll be like, oh, my God, I want it so bad. And I'll be like, no. Take a deep breath. It's going to be right or wait until the end of the year. Okay.
Yeah. Well, you know what you ought to do is, you know, a whole class or workshop on you know, just the beauty of your collection, because you do have an intense collection. But
yeah.
And there's also the Bay Area Tarot Symposium, the BAT Symposium every year, where people just bring out these rare texts and show them. It's an amazing place. All right, we better move on and get to our work here, which is rather than just talk about our crazy nutty collections of decks. Nadia and I can go on and on about decks.
Yeah.
Like Ukrainian playing card decks, right? I mean, it's like, what? I mean,
yes,
seriously.
And let's see who's going to find it first.
Who's
going to
find
it about
first?
Half a year, but they do.
She and I, Nadia and I, go eBay shopping for these super obscure decks. what a love you are, sweetheart. All right. So anyway, let's get to our clients. We're going to turn this over to Ms. Tammy Lee. She's going to bring in our first person, our first caller. Okay, Ms. Tammy Lee, take it away.
Yes, ma'am, Ms. Kat. And, y'all, we have about 52 minutes remaining in today's show and the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Kanjaman Ali, and this week's special guest, Madam Nadia of MadamNadia.com in Chicago, Illinois. We'll be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our call-in clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. And if you have filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will select callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like for you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Ms. Tammy Lee, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our hosts. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first client. Excuse me, and our first client is calling in from area code 212. This is Jade from Washington, D.C. Jade, are you there, caller?
Hello?
Hi, Jade. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Great. Welcome to the show. I want to thank you for tuning in. I know that you're a recent loyal listener, and we thank you so much for being here with us today, this Sunday. And I'm going to go ahead and let our host know that you have not yet gone to any other readers of Root Workers from Air regarding your question, okay? And she writes,
okay.
I feel as if I'm not at one, I feel as if I'm at one of the lowest times in my life, and my astrological chart does state that I'm in a Saturn return in Scorpio. After my divorce, I had to move from New York City to D.C., Washington, D.C., to regroup. I've been searching for full-time employment in New York City for a while now. I could use some on-site on what's in store for me and what I can do to attract a great job in New York City. I've petitioned St. Expedite, St. Joseph, and I'm burning a Lucky Mojo rollover candle. I plan on burning my steady work candle next. Thanks. Turning it back over to you.
All right. Now, see, here's an example of what we were talking about. Here's a lady, Jade, knows what her situation is, and she did her own homework. Thank you, Jade. You know you're in your Saturn return in Scorpio. I almost don't have to do a divination now because I, as an astrologer, know what a Saturn return in Scorpio is like, and I know that it's going to be very difficult to lift that energy with a St. Expedite candle, for instance. Maybe St. Joseph, but not St. Expedite. I know from experience that St. Expedite is for a quick snap at, get something quick. Saturn is way too heavy. It's like that issue of Spider-Man where he's got the 10-ton doohickey on him and he's going, I can't lift it. You know, that's kind of St. Expedite under Saturn. Eventually Spider-Man does lift it, and eventually your Saturn return will come off, but it's going to be hard. So what I would recommend instead is that you work with Saturn. Now, people think of Saturn as a energy that is only for limitation and for despair and depression, and it's like a lead weight and all that. But before Saturn was so reviled in the pre Roman era, that same god, the god of time, and was also the god of agriculture. In other words, you could not do agriculture unless you understood time. Without understanding the seasons, you could not plant and harvest properly. So people say, well, why did Saturn end up being the god of agriculture? Because, God, he's so limiting and bad. He's like winter. He's like, no. He really is the god of time. So what I would recommend is that you get in touch with the idea of timing here. And this is a divination through astrological remediation based on what you've just told me. So you could get, if you know enough about this, Jade, you'll know when your Saturn return is over. First, you'll know when it turns direct, and then you'll know when it moves out of range of your own natal Saturn, right? You understand what I'm saying? Or you know what I'm getting at here? Is she here?
In terms of the time frame, I do, or in terms of knowing when it ends, I do have it. I was told that.
Good.
The
okay.
time frame.
So
that.
What is the time frame that before Saturn moves off again?
It looks like I'm screwed until September 2015. That's what I'm
Oh, boy. Okay, see, now you're still in the middle of it. See, that's important for me to know. So someone else actually did the divination already. I don't have to throw cards on it because I hear it loud and clear. September 2015. So what we really need to do is make you a sheltered space under this giant landslide, because it's really going to be hard for you to break that. And get around it unless you work with it. Okay, so let's talk about what is it working with Saturn mean. So working with Saturn means would be to invite the things of Saturn and kind of love them. I was taught, for instance, to use galena, an ore of lead, or even lead itself, to work with the darker grays and blacks, to work with things like that and say, I accept and acknowledge these limitations on my life, and now I'm, planting seeds, and they're going to break out of the earth, but it's going to take a while. You can ameliorate or appease Saturn by burning Saturn candles. Sometimes people will get a candle dressed with Saturn oil or burn a series of black candles. dressed with Saturn oil. And maybe try to pull out on your chart. Now, see, because you're talking about astrology, let's look at, I don't have it, your chart in front of me, but you would get someone who's a good astrologer to look at your chart and see what aspects your natal Saturn makes. Are there any things that are supporting it? First, I'm giving just a bizarre, weird example off the top of my head. Let's say Mercury was trine your Saturn. Well, then, whenever Mercury is retrograde, things are going to get worse because you're already under your Saturn return. But when Mercury is direct, you can burn some Mercury things along with Saturn, wear those as oils, or wear talismans of those. You can use Solomonic seals or anything like that to perk them up. You can also use herbs and roots that are recommended for those. So you see how I'm thinking about this? Okay? So
yes.
What I'm looking at, though, it's going to be very hard to move the energy of that until it's over. As a divination, now we're going to talk about some root work that can do it, but I'm just saying as a divination, that would be my thought, is to look for something that has that acknowledges Saturn and that also possibly involves the use of earth or dirt as an element, Saturn being the old-time god of agriculture, also that might go by stars and things like that. But you'd want to look further into your chart. Let's turn it over to Madame Nadia. Maybe she'll give you a card reading on this.
Sure. Hello, Jade. I am sorry you're kind of stuck with Saturn return at this point, and I hope that we can give you good advice, a good perspective on how to move through that. Before I go into my reading, I wanted to ask you, I missed the beginning of the description of your situation. You recently moved to New York City, and what have you left behind?
Well,
was there a relationship as well, or?
Well, I moved from New York City. I've been in New York City for 10 years, and I moved from there to D.C. And in terms of leaving things behind, I left half of my possessions there because I did go through a divorce. So half of my possessions are there. My ex-husband is there. My friends are there. So those are just some of the things that I left
and
behind.
And you want to return to New York City?
I do, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
I wonder when the Saturn goes direct.
She said September 2015.
September 2015. Well, that's very interesting because what I see here, I drew my destiny card here, and what it talks very strongly about is your previous relationship or your ex-husband and how the situation of being in Saturn, that difficult place within you that starts all kinds of issues from that relationship that didn't work out, grow a little bit in your head and start taking over you. And this is sort of what I see as being able to work through it and bring clarity. And I'll tell you what I see. I use the Death Cards, which is a Greek and Turkish deck. It's a little bit different, but I'll try to make it kind of simple. So the first card I drew is Turan Reverse. Turan Reverse is definitely talks about your ex. It's a guy. It's a male. Mm-hmm. But when this male shows up in reverse, it's somebody who can really do a lot of damage to us, or somebody who can be quite evil sometimes, use our soft spots for their disadvantage, and sometimes in some combinations it can even talk about magic and root work. And the other card that I see here is Hesse, which is White Horse of the Emerald, and it's reversed. And Hesse reversed talks about madness, going crazy, being stuck on things and not being able to move forward. And this horse that is an animal that wants to move freely and run freely is kind of stuck upside down, doesn't know what to do with itself. And interestingly enough, it's also the year of the horse, so I find it interesting because we're talking about such a big period of time. And then the third card is Mida. Mida is you in this case. It's let's say, a princess of the emerald. And it says that Mida can create all kinds of beautiful things. She's very, very talented in crafting things and making things. She's a person who usually has a lot of problems in her life, but usually she can kind of see them in with a clear sight and understand the, how shall I say it, what is important, what is less important, how to deal with it without anxiety. But with the situation with your Saturn and what's happening that's coming sort of from your ex or you kind of take from the relationship is kind of driving you crazy. And the advice card here is Solana, which is a djinn, and it says that you have to figure out how to make progress and not just stay in the same thing. So what I see here is that there is a lot going on, but really what's important is to do some work that's going to keep you focused and clear-headed so you can wait it out, so you can find ways to make things happen, like the craftiness of Nita, to do something at that time and to use this time, like Kat said, this is a time, you know, that we have to have the Saturn influence in agriculture. We have to have it in order to grow something. So having, bringing clarity of mind and almost like a cooling effect on yourself would be very, very good, because you're going to be, your axe is still, there's certain very, very difficult communication between the two of you with the chassis, which is a difficult card because it talks about not being, you know, not being able to think clearly, and then you trying to take care of things. So it's not the most positive thing. I think that Kat gave you a lot of information in terms of astral reading. And what I'm seeing here is that you're still dealing with your past, and this past is magnified, and there is my suggestion in terms of root work would be to go towards clearing your head so you can deal with that. And, of course, Kazim and Ali will give you a great advice in terms of root work.
Great. Okay. Thank you so much.
Turn it over to Ali then.
Yeah, I think that there's, you know, room here that you can do something about it. One of the things that I want you to take away from this is you need to understand that the old adage of the stars, you know, they influence but they don't, you know, compel is very important. You're not doomed in this state. You don't have to sit around till 2015 to make changes. You can do something now. You just have to make some accommodation. First and foremost, understand that I fully agree with everything said. I also recommend that you really do a little closer of an astrology read in this situation, because where Scorpio is in your house and what aspects are being formed is really going to determine how Saturn return is going to influence you. Saturn return in Scorpio more often than not indicates a really limitations and restrictions when it comes to intense relationships. It also calls for us to look for simplicity, to stop making things complicated. So that's very important for you, okay? Is when you go forward, is trying for simplicity. And use Saturn to your benefit. Saturn is the lord of time and restriction, but is also the lord of religion as well as structure, right? A lot of these structured religions are ruled by Saturn. So you can use this to your benefit. And that's what I'd recommend in the root work. You're going to use a structured approach. What I recommend is a mojo bag. And I want you to write down a clear plan using Saturn's power, right? I want you to write a clear plan of what you want from a job and how things are going to go down. I'm going to find a job that pays this amount. I'm going to find a job at this location, in this area. And this, in turn, is going to give me financial freedom, which in turn will allow me to do this, this, and this. I want you to create a real job plan, create a real structure, okay? And what you're going to do is you're going to use that as the kind of intent and core of your mojo bag. And you're going to place that into a mojo bag along with some money-drawing herbs as well as some Saturn herbs. Three Saturn herbs that I want you to include that are going to be ideal for your situation, and these are based off of Culpepper's writing, is comfrey, which in root work also has some money connections. Wintergreen, Saturn herb, also has some money connection, and Solomon seal root, which is great for wisdom and clarity, but is also a Saturn herb. So we're using these dual-purpose herbs that both will appease Saturn and call upon its power as well as to help with the job. Also put in there a small lodestone grit that you fed some magnetic sand, a little bit of cinnamon, five-finger grass, so that you can gravel root to bring in some job for you, okay? And you're going to pray into that mojo bag, and you're going to tie your prayer and capture it into the mojo bag, and then smoke it in some incense. Get yourself some attraction incense that you've added, comfrey, wintergreen, and Solomon seal root too, and you're going to smoke it in that so that you bring the mojo bag to life. And you're going to carry that with you, feeding it steady work, crown of success, attraction oils. alcohol of any sort, especially whiskey, is going to be particularly good for feeding a mojo bag as well. And I think that that will really help you. Some type of mojo bag that you carry with you. You carry your plan. You carry your structure. It's simple. It's not complicated. And it fits right into the idea of Saturn in Scorpio. You want to keep these simple. You want to keep things structured. And you want to go forward with a specific plan. If you do this, I sense that you can start to find some wiggle room within the restriction that's been placed on your life. But again, follow this up by getting an astrological reading and finding out where exactly Scorpio is on your chart, what aspects are being made, because that will help you understand Saturn's influence, Saturn's returns influence on your chart, okay?
Okay. There were a couple of questions in the forum I want to quickly go to. Somebody asked if charts are expensive. Not really.
No.
You can get a good horoscope done for $25, $50, $75. There are people who will charge you $350, but you don't need that. And the other thing was Ms. Michael mentioned, since that Saturn is the deity of agriculture and rules things buried in the ground, that you could do an apple spell buried under the earth. It's a very good point on her part, that working with Saturn can mean putting things under the ground in a good way. Okay. Let's go to Miss Tammy Lee. We're running really, really late here, so I want to make sure we catch up and get the rest of our folks, okay?
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. And, y'all, we have about 33 minutes left in today's show. Support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com. And by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic contra practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org. And by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client. And our next client is calling in from area code. Area code, hang tight, 910, North Carolina. This is Tracy. Tracy, are you there, caller?
I am here.
Great. Well, welcome to the show, and thank you so much for calling in. I wanted to go ahead and let our host know that this is your first time calling into the show and that you've listened several times to the show. Thank you so much for being a loyal listener to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour. And she writes, my daughter is 14 and son is 4. I'm being falsely accused of child abuse by their father. Regardless of what their father sets out to do, harm me in any manner, he always succeeds. Turning it back over to you.
Okay, I'm hearing a statement of an event, but I'm not hearing a question.
Okay, I guess my question is, currently I have done a vinegar jar and I have done a honey jar, and I was considering doing a poppy. So would that be a good idea to do in this situation?
Okay, so the question, so we're not getting a lot of readings today. It's interesting. Okay, so you're being falsely accused of child abuse. Now I've got to ask another question here because we really need to get this out to the open. Is this a court matter? Is this going before Child Protective Services, or is this just random loose language?
No, this is actually going before Child Protective Services. There was no evidence, so they could not substantiate a case. So right now they're saying that it's just services needed and that me and my daughter just need to go to family counseling. And then once she's ready to come home from family counseling, the case will be closed.
Okay, all right. So what you're now doing is sugar sweetening for your daughter and you. You're doing a vinegar jar for the ex, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And you want to know if doing a poppet is important for your work. Now, the poppet would
yes.
be on whom? On the ex or on the daughter?
The ex.
Of the ex. Okay, so binding and tying him. Okay. So let's turn it over to Ali, and he'll do a quick reading on that.
Yeah, I'm going to be really brief on this because we want to get to some more root work on this. I have one quick question to kind of follow up. When you said you're doing a vinegar jar on your ex, you're doing a vinegar jar on him, or you've put him and child services in there together?
Well, actually, I put him and my daughter in there together, and it was working extremely effectively. I had it turned upside down, and every time I would burn a black candle on it, and I would shake it vigorously. Within 3 days, on that third day, I would always see them argue or something come up between the two of them. So it's kind of to sour their relationship.
Good. Effective okay. work. That's very good of you. Okay.
I've looked into my ring, loose carnelian ring, that I scry with to take a look. And the image that I had is a person surrounded by snakes. You are in a tricky situation. You've done some great work here so far, but navigating out of this is going to require you to be careful and very, very ginger. This person knows how to poison the situation against you, and this person knows how to be quite crafty and dangerous. Being surrounded by snakes is not an easy thing to get out of. You've done some great work. The next image that I have here is I see you paying something, you know, some type of recompensation. Now, that doesn't mean you're literally going to have to pay money, but it does mean you're going to have to pay your dues. So you're not going to walk out of this clear free. You are going to have to go through the motions. You're going to have to pay some type of due in the sense that, for example, you mentioned that you need to go to some type of counseling. You're going to have to go through that. You're not going to be scot-free. It's not going to be, like, completely in your favor. You're going to have to go through some motions here, okay? You're going to have to meet with some type of standard, meet some type of agreement that's been set for you, but that you're going to be successful here. The one thing I would caution is you did a great job with that vinegar jar, but you want to also be careful that you, the work that you do. This person is a serpent. You might consider more protective work and sending away work than pissing him off and making him even further angry. You might consider freezer work, restriction work, dull baby, and things like that. So I do see a I do see success for you, but I don't see that you're completely in the clear. There is a little bit of conflict there. There's a little bit of a chance that you're going to have to meet some type of standard or deal with some type of, you know, going through the motions or kind of paying your due, so to speak, in a metaphoric sense. But in the end, that you will be successful. And I'm going to turn this over to my colleagues and see what they say, okay?
Okay. So I think that a doll baby would be the way to go. We did a little chat here in the chat room about whether it's called a poppet or a dolly. Poppet is an old English word and a very obscure English word that's been revived recently by people who are following British forms of witchcraft. I don't use that term myself, but it is a word. It's a real English word, poppet. We usually use the word dolly, so 'cause in America. So I would do a doll baby on this person, and I would tie him, I would stab him, and I would use the traditional 13 pins. And the traditional 13 pins or needles are used in different places, but you usually start with their eyes first. You get 13 needles, 13 pins. There are no more than that. That is, and I have to say, too, that is not from hoodoo specifically, although it is in hoodoo specifically. But there are Etruscan, there are ancient Greek, there are ancient Cypriot, Turkish, God, you name it. Ali can name every classical place that they had. There are Roman ones. There are ones from the Roman occupation and Greek occupation of Egypt. They're always with 13 needles or pins. It's called classical magic. So the first two you stick into the eyes, and you do that so the person cannot see you. And then the next two you would usually stick into their ears so they can't hear you. And so forth and so on. But what I would recommend here is that you do work with a doll, and I'm recommending this, again, not so much based on a divination, since I see you've said what you've done, but based on my intuitive knowledge of what is needed in this situation. Now, once you make that dolly, and I would recommend you make a cloth doll if you can get any of this person's clothing. If not, use a cloth doll and put whatever you can of them, like glue their face, picture their face onto the cloth doll. Reason I like a cloth doll or a Sculpey or Fimo doll, clay doll, polymer clay doll, is you can bend it. One of the ways that people nowadays modernly work is to take use a Sculpey doll and bend it. But the cloth doll bends very well, and you're going to tie its little hands behind its back, and you're going to stab one of the needles or pins through its hands so it cannot hit or grab. You know, you can tie its little feet behind and stab one of the needles or pins through its feet so it cannot walk, and then tie it all up and bind it. Basically, you're just going to do what you want to that doll. But the major thing you're going to do to this doll is to make its head explode and or burn its mouth out. And that's, you know, what we call torturing the dolly, because this person is making trouble for you. After you've got them to become mentally confused, you can stick a pin in there and just start stirring. If you use a Sculpey, you can use put red pepper in and just work it around their head, and then just stick a pin in their head, and like your thoughts are all angry and confused and messed up, you know. And then you put a hood over it, because what you really want to do in the end is you're going to bind it all up so that it cannot speak, it cannot do anything. People put duct tape around the doll's mouth. It all depends on what you make the doll out of, okay? Duct tape around the mouth. You can put just duct tape the whole head up with the pins in it and everything, needles in it and everything, just like, you know, you are in torment, but you are silenced. There's many, many, many ways to work with a doll baby. In the end, you're going to put it in a freezer. You can soak it in vinegar to make it wet. The vinegar will then freeze. You can soak it in, if the person has a tendency toward alcoholism, you can, what they call, pickle them in alcohol. Use beer, something like that that's liquidish. Get it in there and then freeze the doll. There's so many, so many, so many ways, but that's what I would recommend based on what you've said, you've already done. So that's my divination for you. Let's turn this over to Nadia. Maybe she can give you some more root work advice.
Well, since we got into, you know, such a heavy doll baby work, what I'm thinking about is to give you some advice about doing more protection work. And the first thing that comes to mind is to find spirit of the dead, whether your own family member or somebody that you can locate, that you know that it was somebody who was considered maybe a good mother in the community, somebody as a female who was looked up in the community, and go there and ask that spirit to work for you, to buy some graveyard dirt and bring that graveyard dirt into your protection work. You could do a protection jar, or you would do add this dirt with ginger, with angelica, with althea, herbs like that. Put it all in a jar. You could do an amparo, or put an image of a saint there. I would put your picture with your children together and write a petition for protection on the back of the picture, fold it towards you, and place it in that jar. I know that you know how to make jars, but just so our listeners know, always have a metal lid, because you're going to be putting candles on top of it. And I would burn white or red candles with dressed for St. Michael for a fiery wall of protection. Another thing that I would do, if I had some graveyard dirt like that, I would mix it with fiery wall of protection sachet powder, and I would put it in every corner of the room in my house, all over my house, as I pray for protection of the spirit, for you to be untouchable by this man, and so the family is not being separated in any shape or form. So washing your house for protection and really focusing a lot of prayer on protection so you're staying together. And another thing that I wanted to say is that if you see that the situation is kind of going away and he's still frozen in your refrigerator, in your freezer, after a while what you can do is that you can go and take that puppet and it's still frozen into the woods, somewhere really, really far away in some confusing area, and hang it face down. You can cover it in some type of food, like maybe peanut butter or something like that, but tie it to a branch. So what's going to happen is that you're going to have different animals coming in, trying to claw and get the food off of the puppet. Meanwhile, the person is going to be head down, confused, because the surrounding is a forest, not knowing where up and where down is, and I just enjoy the fact that they're stuck there even after the situation is over. So that would be something that I would do.
That's delightful. All right. That was a delightful spell, Madam Nadia. I see them in the forests of Russia now with bears clawing at them to get the peanut butter. Oh, boy. Oh,
why
boy.
Not?
Why not? No, it's beautiful. It's beautiful work. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's move on and turn this over to Miss Tammy Lee and see if we can get our last caller in, because we're running late again.
Well, yes, ma'am. And, y'all, we've got about 20 minutes left in today's show, and just letting everyone know that every Sunday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, join Conjurman Ali and Catherine Ironwood, who will take live calls, give short readings, and prescribe down-home authentic conjurer spells and provide listeners with the tools to achieve life's goals and overcome its challenges on the Lucky Mojo Hoodie Rootwork Hour. Now we're going to go ahead and go to the phones, and we're taking our next caller who's calling in from area code 347 from New York City. This is New Real, are you there, caller?
Yes, I'm here.
Great. Well, welcome to the show. I'm going to go ahead and let our host know that this is your first time calling in, and you had not yet gone to any other previous readers of members of AIR, rather. And he writes, block of progress and finances, strange mishaps that can't be explained. Turning it back over to you.
Okay, boy, today's the day with no questions. hello, caller. So do you have a question or you just want a root work advice?
My question would be, am I being crossed or blocked or any negative entity attachments or anyone working any type of work against me to hinder my progress in finance?
Okay, got it. All right. So let's see. The first reading is going to be here from Madam Nadia.
Excellent. Hello, Nuriel. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Nadia. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. What I'm going to do is that I'm going to do good old three-card cuts with my Lenormand cards, and I'm going to tell you what I see.
Okay.
So here we go. I certainly see that there is some enemy work that has been done around you and specifically around your home or your property. The first card that I see is the bear. The bear usually represents a maternal figure, strong female, but it also can represent our finances, how strong we are in the bank, so to speak. And then on top of it, we have the house, which is your house, your home, the person, the place, that belongs to you, but it also can be your finances. So those together talk to me, yes, you're definitely concerned about finances. And the third card is a snake. Now, the snake oftentimes represents a female. It's a female that can be dangerous if provoked, and it feels to me like she has been provoked. And so now she is focusing her energy on your property, your home, and your finances. Yes, and we're saying in the chat room that there's a lot of snakes. Yes, somehow there's a lot of snakes in this show today. But and she's not going to let go until she gets what she wants. The feeling that I get here strongly is that it's not something that she wants, like you'll pay her money and she'll go away. But she really wants to see you suffering, and she wants to see your home collapsing. A lot of times the snake would be your ex or somebody who, if you have somebody, if you've been consulting a spiritual worker, and it's a female, a fake worker, they could turn on you like this. Does that make any sense to you so far?
Yes, because I've been homeless in the street for like 3.5 years, and I'm recovering from that, and it's just been all this hardship and suffering and blocking and things.
So this is already, I'm sorry to hear that, so this is already has happened. So you're...
And there's things that's still happening, even though I'm progressing a little bit, but, you know, in my... and the reason this came to my attention because I was doing some prayers with some candles, and I had no idea about candle divination, and I was led to your website to read about that, and then, you know, some signs occurred, and that's why I'm calling.
Great.
Okay.
Well, you're definitely in the right place. Because we're short on time, I'm going to let my colleagues to read on that.
But I definitely see that there has been damage done magically and spiritually.
Okay, thank you. All right.
All right, we're going to turn it over to Conjurman Ali, and he's going to see what he reads on this.
Okay. What I've done here is I've cast a geomantic chart to kind of reveal some of the details. Tristitia comes up, and Tristitia is a very clear sign of curse work being done. It is a stake driven into the ground, and it is the equivalent of the Tower card in the tarot. So it is a card of destruction, it is a card of an assault, and it is a card of tearing down everything that you have and bringing it crashing to the ground. So it is a very harsh card, and it does indicate very clearly that you have been attacked, this particular case, and it is an attack against everything that you own and everything in your life. It is ruled by Saturn, so it does tell us what that attack looks like, and it is about restriction, loss, sorrow, and about losing things. So you said you feel blocked, and Tristitia definitely confirms that. So this is a very clear sign that you do have something going on there. I also have here, in terms of who did it, we have someone who is likely ruled by a fire sign. We have Ecclesiastes as the projection of points. So look for someone who is ruled by a fire sign, someone who likely is either an Aries or a Sagittarius. This is the person that did this work against you. The work is not something that's in the past. It is some type of work that involves continual work. So it may be something, and it wasn't like a candle that was burned a while back. It's more along the lines of a doll put into a freezer, a doll that's been put into a box. So there's something that is still active about it. It's not just candle work that was done against you, okay?
Okay.
And that's what I see here. I'm going to turn this over to Kat because we only have a few minutes and see if she can recommend what you can do in this situation.
Yeah. All right. So we got two readers who've agreed that there has been some cursing and that it has been serious cursing. So now instead of saying it cannot be explained, we can say it can be explained. In fact, it has happened. So I'm going to recommend that you get some work done to cleanse yourself. You may be able to do it yourself. You may not be. You said that you were homeless and you're recuperating from that, so that's good. I hope that means you have a place to be able to take a shower or a cleansing bath.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I would recommend that you start with a series of cleansing baths, since this has been going on for a long time. And you also do some cleansing around the home and cleansing all your laundry, everything that comes in contact with you. Now, cleansing doesn't only mean getting things wet with water, but it can. There are many quick ways to do cleansing. Chinese wash in water is a good scrub water. It can be used in the laundry as well. Uncrossing herbs can be boiled into a tea, and you can bathe in that. You can also cleanse things by smoking them and uncrossing incense if you have to do that, or spritzing them with a little bit of uncrossing bath crystals in water. You might, because this is more than uncrossing, it's more than a cross condition, you might want to do some Jinx Killer added to that. Jinx Killer is a little bit stronger. And then I want you to do some sealing work around your body and around your bed and around the rooms of your house and around your apartment or home itself. And I want you to use some protection work to seal the work that you've done by uncrossing or by Jinx Killing. I feel very strongly that whoever brought you low might attack you again once you get back on your feet, because their idea is to take you out of the game completely, right? So do some cleansing. It might take you a weekend, 2 days at the most, to do a real cleansing with this stuff, and then do some protection at the same, when you're done, do some protection. And you can read about this at our website, luckymojo.com, or ask questions about it in the Lucky Mojo Forum. We have many, many forums of this type of work. There's lots of free information on how to do it. The thing that's important is to realize that you want to hit the Jinx Killer or the cleansing first, and then you want to do the protection. Now, among the protection things would be protection, fiery wall of protection, fear not to walk over evil is another one.
Mm-hmm.
And those are things that can be done to keep it from coming back on you. Then once you've done that, there's a third step, and that is building positive energy from within. Now, it's very common to take off a cross condition or a jinx as the moon is waning. Remove this condition for me. If you can't wait till the moon is waning, do it when the sun is setting or when the hands of the clock are falling. Remove this condition for me. Then you do the protection at a neutral point in time. And then as you have protected the space, now you have a clean space to work in. And you say, now, as the sun is rising, I bring to me all the good things of life. And the psalm, I would say, when doing that, is Psalms number 23. But you also are going to be leaving that house, leaving that sheltered environment, leaving that protected environment. So you're also going to want to have something to carry on you. And since your money was part of what was jinxed, you're going to want to have some money-drawing herbs or some money-protective herbs, possibly to put in your wallet, a comfrey leaf or something like that. Sassafras is another one, Irish moss, and just a little flat, a little packet of that stuff, real flat, just put in your wallet or carry in your pocket. I feel like you need to protect your money and you need to protect your mind as well, because negativity can spread into through your own mind and you'll be your own undoing. So once you've cleansed yourself, uncrossed yourself, protected yourself, I'd like you to take a little bit of King Solomon wisdom or crown of success, put that on your forehead, under the top of your head, maybe over your scalp, and then just say, now may all my works be crowned with success. Rub a little bit in the palms of your hands, may all my work be done for success. Put some on the soles of your feet, wherever I walk towards success. And now get yourself a good job. And you know, and ask those favors of the universe and of God that you be blessed with abundance, and say the 23rd Psalm, because there's more than just taking off a cross condition. You always have to turn yourself around and work yourself back toward what is the right thing. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Now, if you need a root worker to guide and help you on that or need consultation, you know, you can always ask in the Lucky Mojo Forum. But since you're in a short situation financially, you can also just get a $10, 10-minute reading from someone, and they can walk you through the process, you know, one of them every week until you get it all done, or just read the forum. It's free, okay?
Okay, we'll do.
All righty. Best of luck to you. But it's a process. It's not a snap-your-finger instant thing. It's a process. All right. Good luck to you. And I'm glad to see that you're working your way back toward normal health, and that's good, and normal optimism, and a normal contribution to society, and therefore normal pay from society for that contribution. That's what it's all about. Put yourself in the right place in the world. Be a king in your own home. All right. I'm going to turn this over to Miss Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. And we have just under 8 minutes remaining in our show. And, y'all, the Lucky Mojo Hoodie Real Work Hour is hosted each week by Conjurman Ali and Miss Catherine Ironwood. Now we're going to go ahead and turn it over to Madam Nadia of MadamNadia.com in Chicago, Illinois, for our free spell section. Madam Nadia.
Okay, you guys. So I just want to give you a little teaser about how to work with cards and create very powerful spells, specifically for what we do in Hoodoo. So for this, you will need, first of all, 5 Lenormand cards. 1 gentleman, 1 the lady, and we're talking about heterosexual couples. There are other ways to put, you know, to put queer couples here, definitely possible, but for this example, we're going to do a heterosexual couple. We're going to have the heart card, the bouquet card, and the ring card. And this is a spell for to get an engagement. So we have a couple that's been together, but they need there's more commitment needed, so engagement or serious commitment. And what we're going to do with this card is that we're going to lay them out in very specific way. So we're going to take the gentleman card, and we're going to name it, and we're going to focus on it. And so let's say it's Johnny. Johnny, I name this card as Johnny Smith. Johnny Smith, you love me, you desire me, we've been together, you will propose to me. And then you're going to take the lady card, and you're going to call the lady card for yourself. The lady is doing the spell. And so you're focusing the energy, you're naming these significators in your name. Now, you're going to take the heart card, and you're going to put it on top. Under the heart card, you're going to put the bouquet and the ring cards. And on the two sides to the bouquet and ring, you're going to put the lady and the gentleman. Put the ring card by the person who you want to propose. So if, you know, if you are a female and you're waiting for the guy to propose, put the ring by him. If that's the opposite, you know, you want commitment from the lady, put the ring by the lady. Now, what you're going to do is that you're going to take a little pinch of red rose petals, and you're going to put it on the heart card. You're going to take a little pinch of deer's tongue, and you're going to put it on the bouquet card. And you're going to take a little pinch of witchgrass, and you're going to put it on the ring card. You're also going to take two small matched lodestones. You're going to put it in the center of this whole arrangement. You're going to take a little bowl or glass, turn it over, and burn bride and groom candle that is dressed with Love Me oil. When the spell is done, take the leftover of the wax, the herbs, and the lodestones, put them in a mojo bag and keep it with you, dressing it weekly or as often as you want with a Love Me oil.
Wow. Okay. Now, I missed a couple of things here, and I was trying to type as fast as I could. The rose, the rose petals go on the what? On the which card?
On the heart.
Rose on heart. And the deer's tongue on which one?
The bouquet. Card number 9, bouquet.
Okay. Okay. And the and what was the other one? Not grass?
Witchgrass, yes. It's
witchgrass.
Gonna go witchgrass, yes. Going to go on the ring card.
On the
ring,
okay.
We want to tie that down, right?
Tie them. I get it. Bind them down. Okay.
Bind
and then
them
you
down.
Said you had a bride and groom candle, and they were going to be dressed with what oil?
Love Me oil.
Okay. All right. Wow. Okay. I got it all. I try to type fast. Usually, Casey Witten is here in the chat room typing along with me. In between us, we get them all together. So, okay.
I was trying to fire it out as fast as I could.
Right. Okay. Now, couple more questions. Okay. Now,
yes.
You had described that the bride and not the bride and groom, but the gentleman and the lady are on the two sides, and then you have the ring on top, and you have these other cards. Are they all stacked in a straight row, or is it like a little pyramid of them?
It's a little pyramid with the heart on top, the ring and the bouquet on the bottom, and to the side of the ring and the bouquet
got
is
it.
The lady and gentleman.
Got it. Now I understand. And where does the bride and groom go?
It goes on a little bowl or a cup that stands in the center. So it's going to be like over your heart and bouquet and ring and underneath to match tiny lodestones.
Okay. Okay, and tiny lodestones. All right, thank you so much.
You're welcome. The
and I'm
from that is so
wow,
much easier.
Wow, that was good. That was good. Okay, let's turn this over to Miss Tammy Lee.
Well, yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. Thank you, Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali, and thank you, Madam Nadia of MadamNadia.com in Chicago, Illinois, for being our special guest member from AIR this week. We invite you to tune in next week, and we will have a very special guest member from the Association of Independent Rooters and Root Workers. Once again, y'all, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodie Root Work Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Kat by the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjurman Ali at conjurmanali.com in Mission Viejo, California. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, joining you from tripleground.conjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. The Lucky Mojo Hoots Rework Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you so much for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
All right. Thank you, Miss Tammy Lee. Everybody, remember, May 3rd and 4th is the Voodoo Heritage Festival in Forestville. And thank you so much, Madam Nadia, for being our guest tonight. And we will look forward to seeing you and get much more of those kinds of really good spells that use cards in them at your workshop. Thank
always
you, Ollie.
Glad.
Yeah,
thank you
so much. That's wonderful. You guys have been a big help. If you all remember, stay in touch with Lucky Mojo through our Facebook page where we do our Facebook Fridays giveaways. We give away free products every Friday. And I think that's about all I have to say. So good night.
Good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.